Well, as our story begins today with Jesus walking to Jerusalem, healing people and drawing large crowds, he is about a one-day walk from his goal, having arrived in Jericho, the home of Zacchaeus, strangely enough meaning pure or innocent in Hebrew. He is the chief tax collector of the town. Jesus knows why he is there. He knows what is about to happen, and he knows that he is going to Jerusalem to die. Luke had just finished relaying the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector in the temple, heard last week, highlighting their differences, and the story of Jesus giving sight to a blind man who immediately joined Jesus and his followers, screaming praises to God just outside of town. Well, tax collectors, also known as publicans, like Zacchaeus, are mentioned many times in the Bible. They were hated by the Jewish people of Jesus' day because they were perceived as being greedy and for collaborating with the Roman occupiers. Think of today's world. And what if you met me for the first time at coffee hour after the service when I was still working? And I introduced myself. Hi, I'm Doug, and I work for the Bank of Montreal. Well, many of you would get an image of me and what you might assume that I did. But to be quite honest, you would probably be wrong. Because for over 30 years of the 40 that I worked at BMO, I was the one and only person in the company that did the job that I did. But now try to imagine that I walk up to you at coffee and I say, "Hi, I'm Doug. I work for the CRA." Well, I could see that that might be a fast way to clear a table or a room. Because let's face it, folks, the tax man is still distrusted and feared. Even today. As I mentioned, tax collectors were hated by the Jewish people because they worked for the Romans, collecting fees and taxes, specifically for them. Similar results have been seen in, for example, modern Afghanistan, after the invading army of the United States pulled up stakes and left after years of occupation. Many Afghans were screaming and calling for help and assistance in leaving the country because they had helped the United States Army, and they now feared that they were hated and in danger from their own people. It was also common at that time for tax collectors to collect more than they were actually owed, allowing them, like Zacchaeus, to grow quite wealthy. Imagine for a minute that the diocese here in this area needs money, like the Roman government, and that they send people like myself, all the people's wardens in the diocese, an email tomorrow morning instructing us that we are to collect 75 cents from every person who attends a service in an Anglican church for each of the next 10 services. Now, let's face it. 75 cents per person is very inconvenient, and it is a pain for me to have to collect, making change for everybody and collecting piles of quarters every week. So I think that I'll make it easier and more convenient for me, and I'll collect a dollar from everybody. Just a simple loonie. But how would that work? The diocese knows that we usually have, let's say, for example, 40 people here for each service. So if I collect a dollar from each, that would be a total of $400. The diocese, at the 75 cents they're asking for, would only be expecting 300. So I'm really beginning to like this plan, as the diocese will get the $300 that it needs and is owed and is expecting. And, let's face it, I get the $100 difference between what is collected and what is then delivered. It's pretty easy using this example to see how the tax collector could quite easily become very hated among his people. Well, the story of Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector in the town, is one of my favorite stories in the Bible for three fairly simple reasons. First, it is another story of Jesus reaching out and interacting with, of helping and of including one of the outsiders, of Jesus including the person that's not permitted to be included. You may not be aware of this, but when I was young, my father was transferred by his work across this great country of ours and back again. I started kindergarten in Hamilton, the city where I was born, for a whole 1 to 2 months. We were then moved to Winnipeg, where there was no offering of that grade. So I was stuck back at home waiting to start school all over again. So for grade 1, I was still in Winnipeg, but for grade 2, I was living on a mountain overlooking Port Moody by Vancouver and New Westminster in British Columbia. And then for grade 3, I was back here in Scarborough. So I think that growing up, I came to understand many of the feelings that Zacchaeus had about his neighbors, always being the new kid in the class, with no friends to talk to or to play with. A second reason for this story being a favorite of mine, his description of Zacchaeus as being very short, unable to see over the crowd gathered along the road to see Jesus, and no one allowing him to squeeze in between and move up to the front so that he could see. I can picture a scene that if the Pharisees and the Sadducees were to come along, they would just order the people to stand aside and let them through, and it would have happened. And I guess probably my favorite important point in this story of the choice of lesson is the fact that when I picture Zacchaeus, I must admit, I see Danny DeVito, one of my favorite comedy stars. And a third reason for this story is it is a story of redemption, of change, and of salvation. Zacchaeus had heard of Jesus. He had heard that he was coming through town, and he was desperate to physically see him, even so desperate that he climbed a tree to do so. And I can tell you that's not an easy task for an older man to do. He went looking for Jesus. He put himself at risk even to do so. And he was rewarded for his efforts. Just like the picture behind me, Jesus stopped, looked up at him, and he called him to come down because, believe it or not, Jesus needed him. Zacchaeus teaches us that when you make a solid effort to experience Jesus, you will be rewarded. But it means seeking him with all your heart and doing everything that he would have you do. Of course, like the picture up on the screen shows, it also draws complaints from those in the crowd. I'm thinking probably the Pharisees and Sadducees of the time, who do not feel that Zacchaeus is worthy to host Jesus or even to be spoken to by him. After all, from the very beginning of his ministry, Jesus was hearing complaints about spending time with sinners, tax collectors, and prostitutes. To each of these complaints, Jesus always answered the same sort of answer, that he had come to search out and to save the lost, or that healthy people did not need a doctor, only sick people do. Jesus saw them as spiritually sick and needing to be healed. The Pharisees, on the other hand, could offer nothing to tax collectors except a long list of rules. while Jesus offered forgiveness of sins and the hope of a new life. Jesus, unlike the crowd, often stood up to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But this time he didn't speak. He didn't say anything to them. But Zacchaeus did, by publicly proclaiming, "Lord, I'll give half my goods to the poor. And if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusations, I'll restore four times as much." Zacchaeus, a sinner and an outcast in the eyes of all around him, declared to turn his life around and to reform. By meeting Jesus that day, he was changed for the better. Much I like to think like Ebenezer Scrooge was at the end of A Christmas Carol. I'd like for each person that's here today or listening online to do a small test. And it's sort of homework for the sermon. And it's based off a method of experiencing the lessons from the Bible that was suggested by a former priest here at St. George's, the Reverend Canon John Wilton. Using your iPhone, your iPad, or your computer to record you, read the lesson, read the gospel from today, and remember that it is the last interaction of Jesus and the people prior to Palm Sunday. Close your eyes and listen to it. Then, close your eyes and listen to it one more time. But this time, imagine yourself as one of the Pharisees in the crowd. Think about what you hear and feel as you hear the words. Then, listen to it one last time. Listen to it a third time, and this time, see yourself as Zacchaeus. And think about what you, as he, feels. Take a moment to think about which person felt right for you, the Pharisee or Zacchaeus. Because remember, both of these types of people still exist even today in our Christian churches. Each of us has seen them in action in our congregations. But often, we do not see it in ourselves. Are you the sinner? Are you in need of help and life change, like Zacchaeus? Or are you that perfect Christian, above all judgment and examination, like the Pharisees? In closing, as one of the outsiders in life, having spent much of my life looking in from the fringes and the edges, I would like to close with a version of the final two lines in the Outlaw's Prayer by country music's legendary outlaw, Johnny Paycheck. This is a song that he wrote about finding a Christian church one morning and being moved and having his spirit draw him inside, wanting to worship God with them and to be a part of their community. But where the holier-than-thou people, the Christian Pharisees and Sadducees, if you will, looked at him coming through the door, immediately passed judgment on him and barred him from entering and worshiping in their church, or probably more importantly to them, worshiping with them. They just couldn't see that. Well, this is Hayes signing off. I'll be seeing you, Lord. I hope.